This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But right now at the moment, you sent this story my way, Tobes. I don't want to lead the witnesses here. Okay? Would you mind setting it up what it is so that you don't accuse me
sure,
later
sure,
presenting
of
it in a biased way?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically Ron Washington, the great manager of now the Los Angeles Angels, great longtime coach of various baseball organizations.
Yeah, baseball life for that guy.
Yeah, just a great dude. He has implemented a rule in his clubhouse in spring training where if you're in the clubhouse, sitting at your locker, whatever, you cannot be on your phone. Essentially, no phones in the clubhouse unless there's obviously emergency, family, something. You can hop on your phone if you need to, but for the most part, just don't be scrolling X, don't be scrolling Instagram, TikTok, and all that when you're in the clubhouse. When you're in the clubhouse, you're present with the guys there. And so they're now going to implement this rule into the regular season. And it seems like it's been gone over well so far with all of his Angels players. And apparently this is something that he had done before in his time when he was managing the Texas Rangers back in the day. Obviously, phones were prevalent, but not nearly as prevalent nowadays. But even as much as just don't be on your phone, be present. And it was kind of a self-policed rule. It was basically policed by the players. There was like a fine of sorts if you were to break this rule. But basically to say, you know, almost kind of similar to how, you know, families do no phones at the dinner table sort of deal. But when you're in the clubhouse, don't be on your phone. That's kind of the rule that he's implemented.
I would say that's a pretty fair assessment, right? So this is the... Now, you guys, most of you haven't been in a major league locker room. I understand that. But when you go in, the way it kind of works usually, and you know, whether it's Nats spring training facility or their home ballpark, there's kind of an ante room, so to speak. There's a first step you got to get past, kind of a hallway, which leads to batting cages, which leads to, training table, kitchen stuff, and all sorts of different things for the guys to do that's back there kind of in the clubhouse in their sanctum. Then there's, you know, restrooms off to the side. There's a bunch of stuff that's back there. So the main clubhouse, kind of the hangout, the hub, right, that's meant to be sacred. In fact, Grant and I have disagreed about this a million times and we'll disagree a million more over the years. I don't think the way I would design it in the future, I don't think media should be there. I don't think anybody should be in the clubhouse except for the players. I understand the logistics of it. After a game, you got a limited window to get your comments, get your thoughts, to do your stories, etc. But to me, that should be a sacrosanct place for the players. It's not how it goes. I understand I've been outvoted. I know that's not the way it is, but just, again, my two cents. So he's saying that when you're in the clubhouse, right, which is really that central hub, that locker room, right, where you can – You need to go to one of the side rooms to use the restroom, go back into one area for where the manager's office is, et cetera, et cetera. We're not sitting there at our stool on our locker at our locker with our feet sort of, you know, in the middle of the walkway, just scrolling Twitter, scrolling Facebook, Instagram, TikToks, or whatever. You're present. You're there with your teammates. You're clocking into work. And I know, because I got mine too, I know that when I get home in the evenings, we're trying to encourage our kids not to be on devices or whatever when sure. to sit down at their time. We can't have a normal dinner. Our kids are young enough still where they're starving, you know, at 4 o'clock and waiting for me to get home at 7 every night is stupid. But the times when there's multiple people together there at kind of the makeshift dinner, little counter tabletop we have or the dinner table, we don't want people on phones. And I try very hard not to. Like if there's something going on business-wise, work-wise that I've got to do, I do it. But for the most part, it's like you're trying not to – to do that and to be present with folks, even if you're too tired to have a great convo, even if you don't feel like it, even if you're not feeling well, just being there is the right thing. So I love this rule. I think it's fantastic. It's a way to force those collegial and communal interactions that make a team a team. So in high school and in college, even though it's funny to say because you have such a limited time, right, where freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, then you're done in both venues, it's still a 24-7 because you're living together, right? You're going to lunch together. You're around each other all the damn time, and you're around your teammates a lot too, obviously, especially with pro baseball. With spring training and everything else, you're there for 7 months. You see these guys almost every day. But there's still an independent contractor element to it that now kind of is leaking into college sports as well with NIL. But for the most part, it's like you are a team in name only because each guy's worried about his arbitration, his free agency upcoming, his contract, his stats, his numbers, his whatever. You can come together for the common goal, yeah. And there are going to be moments where you sacrifice for the team. But for the most part, you think of the NFL, you think of the NBA, you think of almost every pro sport. It is a thrown-together group that's a team because you're wearing the same laundry. But the groups that really have succeeded here, think of this Capitals team this year, think of 2019 for the Nationals. There's something to that special magic. There's something to this year's Washington 53 where they were way better than the sum of their parts, dude. And it was that brotherhood, ding the bell. It was that collegial, we're all in the same boat, pulling the rope in the same direction to put two different analogies into one. And you're trying to build that. And it's hard to build that, and especially when everybody's got their own agenda. Tobes, to you, your response.
Yeah, I mean, I think I understand the point of this, and I think it does make a lot of sense. I mean, I think a lot of people listening to our station have played sports in some way or another, and a lot of people haven't played at the level that you did, where you went on to college and played and, potentially could have gone professional or, and had an opportunity, but that didn't obviously work out for you. But
why are you bringing up old stuff, dude?
But most of us have played at, like, a high school level or middle school level. And a lot of times, Danny, like, we hang out at school, right? Like, you might play baseball, basketball, whatever, and, like, the next day after a game you're talking about. These dudes don't. It's different when you get to professional sports. They go home.
Yep.
They go home to their families. And so the reality is, like, if you're going to build that chemistry like you did when you were in grade school, that was your best friend. That was your buddy. You went over and had sleepovers at their house during the summer, and you did all these different things. They don't do that. They're professional athletes. But a way that you can do that, and I think it's something that you talked about with this Commanders team and the brotherhood they had this year, ding the bell, is the fact that they created an environment where people wanted to hang out. So you might be finished getting your rehab, your lift, and watching film and everything at 5 o'clock, but you're still there till 7 or 8 because you're hanging out with the guys. You're playing games. You're playing cards. And that was something that I thought was really, really good about walking into the Nats clubhouse when we were down there in West Palm. You walked in every day and they were doing something together. They were playing cards, whether it was Dylan Cruz, James Wood, Andrew Pinckney. Some days they had a little mini basketball hoop like you hang over the door and they were screwing around playing that. Like, those are the sorts of things that fosters. And, some guys are still sitting at their locker on their phone, but for the most part, guys were hanging out. And I think it's one of those things where you have to understand your clubhouse. If Wash feels like he's got a bunch of guys that are just going to be sitting at their locker and on their phone the entire time, and you're never going to build that chemistry, then 100%. If it's something where, one or two guys are still going to do that, you can kind of encourage them to be a part of the group. But for the most part, the group organically is going to come together. Then I would tend to say don't put this rule in place. But I think the rule makes sense. It really does. Like you said, it's their job. We don't always view it as a job for them because it's such a cool thing. But it is their job. And how often do you show up to your job and sit on your phone for, hours on end? Like, it's a totally different thing for them. So I don't think it's a bad idea. I generally would not be a fan of it. I don't like restrictions when I'm just trying to live my life. But at the same point, I think it makes sense to build some of that chemistry. And it's a team, frankly, that has underachieved year after year after year. I mean, we're going to look back on that team 10, 15 years from now and say, they put Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, two of the best players of this generation, on the same team, and they didn't win a playoff game. Like, that is wild.
They didn't even go most of the time,
You might as well try different stuff. And if this works, that they build a really good team bond and that can help them win games on the field, try whatever works, man.
Yeah. 800-636-1067. I'm just curious to the folks' reactions to this because it's one of those things I think that sounds great in theory, right? But in practice, how annoying would it be? Like, the last time I had a real job a long time ago working as a contractor with Department of Defense, this would happen all the time. Now, the phones were different. It was like Palm Pilots, and like, you know, these smartphones that had like little pens that you could use with them or Blackberries or whatever. But the amount of times you'd sit there and someone clearly wasn't paying attention to what was going on and they're on their phone, and you know that it's just that's adding hassle. That's adding
Robert Hassel.
I wish it was Robert Hassel. I would have taken a sweet left-handed stroke from a plus outfielder a long time ago, a million times over what was happening some of those meetings took, where you knew that the lieutenant colonel that wasn't paying attention, you got to repeat what you just said.
Yeah.
And you know that a 30-minute meeting or one that should have been an email turned into an hour and a half, and you still don't have a configuration for the fifth-floor office space. All we're trying to do was figure out where the chairs and where the desks were going to go. We had to have seven different meetings about that. Seven, Toby. Seven different times I was the representative of my little group there as we're trying to say, well, this guy could sit right over there. Well, what about this? Back to the drawing board, official proposals typed up. And next thing you know, this dude's on his BlackBerry, and it's about where you're going to sit, Lieutenant Colonel. You know what I'm saying? Like, pay attention to me. But I can't tell you what to do because you're my boss, but at the same time, get off your Palm Pilot, bro.
Yes.
You get it.
Yeah. No, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's one of those things where you can build a chemistry that's a lot deeper if you don't have guys so focused on what they're doing. You know, I think there needs to be some understanding on it. Like, if a guy wants to listen to music at his locker with headphones, fine. But
yeah, pregame, what you got to do, do what you got to do.
Yeah, but just don't be sitting there, you know, it's 4 o'clock, we're waiting to take BP together. Don't be just sitting there scrolling TikTok when you could be hanging out with the guys.
That's kind of my idea. 800-636-1067. Curious to you guys' reactions on this. It sounds like Toby and I are in lockstep. I thought he'd just be a generic young person and be like, yeah, man, don't tell me what to do with my phone, bro. Like, I'm on my phone. TikTok won't scroll itself. You know what I'm saying? I need to look at 57 videos of people holding miniature mics before I can do anything each day. And you interrupt that, you're interrupting my process.